Blog Talk Radio.
Now move your awareness to the second chakra within the pelvic region. The Sanskrit word for this chakra is Svadhisthana, or the self's dwelling place. As you bring your attention to this area, visualize the color orange. Breathe in the energy of a rich, vibrant orange and allow it to awaken the creative forces that lie latent in this chakra, the powerful masculine and feminine elements present in every human being intertwine in this chakra and give rise to the generative force that finds its release in sexuality and creative expression. This chakra relates to your vitality, your sensuality, and your potency. It governs your reproductive organs and is associated with the sense of taste. When this chakra is open, you feel intimately connected with the creative power of the universe. The sound of this chakra is bum, bum, bum. Relax and silently repeat to yourself the mantra, bum.
Good evening, family. This is Monique Nubia Sunshine coming to you this evening as we embark on our education in the introduction of the chakras. And last week, we talked about the root chakra. We talked about what it meant and where the location is in the body and the energy and what the chakras are essentially about. And so this evening we're going to talk a little further and move into our second chakra, which is one of my favorite chakras to work in just in the aspects of what they are, and identify myself closely with this particular chakra. But what I want to talk to you about first is how we move energy through the chakras. As each chakra that we talk about will have an association with symbols and things that are going on inside of our bodies, and I will always highlight that. But when we move life force energy through and in and out of the body, we move them through channels called our nadis, typically used in yoga. And inside the chakras, the energy also moves in and out in a lot of other ways. It really depends on what is going on with you personally. So if you can see your own chakras, you know, most people imagine them when you meditate with them as this wheel of energy. You might see different colors. You may see wheels turning, or you may associate them with spinning clockwise or counterclockwise, or you might see some other disturbances or other just things going on in your meditation. And a lot of these things can happen to a chakra with movement. So sometimes if you're in a meditation and you see you imagine yourself with the root chakra, with it connecting to the color red, and you see an abundance of red. And it's not typically, you may not typically see it in a circle. You may see it floating, a red something, a red fog, a red cloud, just moving about. Typically, that is your energy changing, moving. And a lot of times we don't pay attention to it because we're not that in tune to it. But our chakras can change in size, shape, and speed, and the type of spinning throughout the course of the day, depending on the energy that we are connecting to. And also, they may be taking in prana, which is air, which is more life force, and processing it through the body so that the body can use it and release it. So it will go back into the system like energy transformers, so to speak. So sometimes when things, say for instance, if you have an issue with someone and you get angry and you get butterflies in your stomach and you want to close your eyes and kind of just take in some air, you'll see or you'll feel that in your solar plexus that your anger is being activated and you feel a sense of power. And that's where the butterflies also come from, the nervousness. So there are ways, different ways that energy moves inside the body, and we feel it. When we have healthy chakras, which is really the ideal, is try to get our chakras as balanced as possible. And what we want to try to do is take in as much air to allow more energy to recharge us. And that's what we do with the meditations, or that's what I do with the meditations and being able to recharge that energy, giving myself that downtime where I can bring more positive energy. And it's even more beneficial when you sit in front of the sun. If you sit out in the sun and you absorb some of the sun's rays and all the energy that comes from the sun, you can charge and you can better restart those chakras that are losing energy. So when we talk about the second chakra, it being called Vahisthana, okay, and that's in the Sanskrit terms, Vahisthana. And I also posted some information, and I said I would talk light about some of the kemetic relation as it presents itself to the chakras. And I had posted some information about it, but typically at the root chakra, the kemetic deity for that is Atum. And that is from, Anubi and Sekhet, which is at the base of your spine. And the deities that are affiliated with the second chakra is Sekhmet and Tekhet, and I hope I'm saying that right, which is within or located in the genital area. But as we talk about the chakras in general, as they pertain to us, it is associated with our emotional body, whereas the root chakra is all affiliated to our physical body. The root chakra is just below the sacral chakra, which is in your abdominal, your lower abdominal area. It is affiliated with all of your sexual organs. It is encompassing your it's all encompassing your bladder, your internal organs like your kidneys. It's all encompassing as your in women. It's our uterus, our genitals, our reproductive organs, our sacral nerve, and all of our areas encompassing that reproductive kidney and bladder area. It is also associated with the sound Vang, as was mentioned. So when you do a chanting meditation, you would generate the vibration from that sacral area or that abdominal or your genital area where you go Vang, and you feel the vibrations generating to that area. And that's typically what I teach when I begin the yoni breathing classes as well. I teach the process of being able to vibrate through your body and actually feeling that vibration in that area. But the associated phrases that go with the sacral chakra is listen to your gut and if you have butterflies in your stomach or if you have a funny feeling. The sacral chakra is related to our emotions. It is related to our passions, our sexuality, our creativity, our intimate relationships, and our parenting issues, whether it is parenting from a parent to us or us as parents to our children. Very, very important. And it makes sense because it is also affiliated with our fertility, for with our reproductive system. So when you typically have issues with fertility, it makes you want to kind of go back to that place to find out what's going on or what has happened in your childhood. And it also makes you want to look at your intimate, your very close and intimate relationships. So as its contrast, it's not so far contrast from your root chakra where you're dealing with your family and your sense of survival and your protection and your tribe and your clique and things like that. This is more intimate, close, direct relationships. People that you share just energy on a daily basis on an intimate level, and not necessarily loving intimate or physical intimate, but it could just be on a relationship intimacy. And it varies all around those relationships. But the physical issues that are related to a second chakra blockage, when you are completely blocked, there is no energy going in there, you tend to have fertility problems, sexual arousal disorders, a nervous stomach that equates to the butterflies in the stomach, stiffness again with movements, bladder infections, kidney stones, skipped or stopped menstrual periods, lower back pain, and then the psychological issues that are related to a second chakra blockage would be creative blocks. When you are trying to create something and you just stuck, especially as an artist, when you're trying to have that ability to be able to create something, whether it be music or art or dance, anything on that level, or just in general, being able to creatively get yourself out of certain situations, having a blockage, that is definitely a psychological block. Fear of relationships or commitment issues, emotional coldness, inability to experience pleasure, shallow relationships, communication problems, and especially communication problems with children, And so, I will go further into it. As a matter of fact, I want to just speak to you on an example of what you can relate to as far as a second chakra issue. Going to tell you a story about a young lady. And there was a young lady who had an issue with fertility. It was generally related to her second chakra, where her reproductive organs are housed. She was the oldest daughter of a dysfunctional family. She felt the responsibility and was always constantly picking up the pieces. Despite having other siblings, she was the one who planned and hosted family dinners. She took care of her parents when they were ill, and she lent family members money. She also offered to take in family members who had become homeless. She was constantly giving away her second chakra energy, and she was giving it all to her family. They were happy to take it, but because she was giving so much away, there was little energy left for her in her second chakra to nurture the development of a new life and start her own family. Until she can develop better boundaries with her siblings and her parents and learn how to say no, this young lady became so ill that her second chakra remained weakened, which made it difficult for her to conceive. So many of us don't realize how powerful our chakras are to our bodies, but it can literally stop things from happening. And especially when you're giving so much energy, and this young lady was giving so much energy into being a caretaker of others, that not only did her sacral chakra suffer for it, but the universe saw it that she already has children. She already has people that she's taking care of. She's not going to have the time to actually take care of her own. And so all her efforts and her energy was being put into everyone else and her inability to say no. And I know there are so many of us who have this problem with telling people no, saying no and honoring ourselves. And it's very difficult because sometimes what happens is we feel obligated because of the emotional and the family attachment, because of the fact that we feel so responsible for being able to accommodate others rather than working with our own individual self. So with the psychological issues that are related, or the physical issues that are related to sacral chakra blockage, with her having fertility problems, kind of shows itself up in how she just puts that energy into other people and not taking care of self. And I know so many of us are like that. And the person that I was talking about was myself. And it wasn't until I had to stop doing things for others and start focusing on what my desires are. And that's not to say to be selfish and just don't do anything at all, turn people down and things like that, but knowing when it is time for you to be able to work with people, to work with people and give up your time. If it's something that takes away from you as a person, you kind of want to reevaluate that part of yourself. And being that this particular chakra is an emotional, it deals with emotions. It deals with that part of yourself where you have passion. So if you have a passion to help someone, sometimes we have to learn how to turn that off. And this particular chakra is affiliated with the water element. So it is motion. It is emotion. And it is fluid. So it's something that we want to look at when we start to work with other people or when we start to do things for others and forget about ourselves. We want to look at our sacral chakra. Now, also with the sacral chakra, it is influenced by how our emotions are expressed or repressed during childhood. It is related to the sweetness. In fact, the Vahasthana, or the second chakra, can be translated to sweetness or dwelling place of self. It is said to be strongly influenced by emotions that were expressed or not expressed during childhood. And this is how you have some relationships where people, you may be dating someone and they may not be able to express their emotions. That typically comes from someone who has dealt with that as a child. So in essence, we have to understand the people that we are in relationships with and how they express themselves to us by going back, by looking at those things and not saying, oh, he's just, you know, he just don't want to show his feelings. He just don't want to, he just being a man right now. And a lot of times it has to do with the way that we're brought up and the way that we're taught to be able to handle things. Some children, if they experience trauma in their life, some children shut down and just void of all emotions. And then you have other instances which some children are over emotion, and that's when you have an overload of the sacral chakra, which we'll talk about a little later. But this chakra, the second chakra, is considered one of the lower chakras because it is the first three chakras of the major chakras. And it is definitely affects you when you have back pain, and because it's located near your root chakra and it's located up your back area and dealing with your kidneys and your bladder, if you tend to have back pain, it also encompasses your sacral chakra. Now, when you know you have deficient energy in that chakra, you also are going to feel a sense of, and this is on a psychological level, excessive guilt,
and for some people, impotence and over sensitive or sexual issues, or being shy or being timid. And I know so many people who have those issues in my elder years. As we get older, I know so many people who have sexual impotency, who is not connected to that sexual self, not connected to that sensual part of who they are. And a lot of that, again, goes back to childhood and not being able to make those connections during childhood. And not to say that a childhood has to know what sensuality is, but if you grew up with lack of emotion and grew up in a family where there was not enough attention to being loving and holding and being affectionate, then that tends to carry over when we become adults. In some cases, it tends to go the opposite when we become adults because of that needing and that wanting that love and have that connection. So sometimes it could be, you know, just the overabundance. So I'm going to talk about the overages that you can have, an overloaded chakra, in just a moment. But I do want to open up the lines, and I do want to see if anyone has any questions before I move on and really start to dig deep into the sacral chakra. So at this point, I'm opening up the lines. And if you have any background noise, please mute your phone. We do want to try to hear everyone's questions. I'm actually going to call numbers and just see if anyone has questions. So the caller with the last four digits of 5044, welcome.
Hi. I'm just listening in, but it's making a lot of sense, because I dealt with, I guess you would call this, well, it is, the sexual abuse growing up, as a lot of young females do, unfortunately, and now I'm understanding where that came from, because at one point in time, I thought something was wrong with me, because I just was not at all connected in that way at all.
Right.
And it was causing like in my marriage at one point in time, and I started to look at my poor husband like, you know, he's, something's wrong with him, and you know what I'm saying, like, just because he wants to be with his wife. And so now it's making sense to me, so I'm just listening and taking notes, and thank you for making me stronger, and I appreciate it.
All right, well, I thank you so much for listening in and absorbing that. And there's a lot more to come on that. And I also do some other work on Sundays really dealing with that, because a lot of my sister friends and a lot of experiences that I've had, I'm starting to discover that many of us have had that type of abuse in our lives, many of us. And until we can say that out loud and actually go into those places and understand what was the issue, we will continue to suffer. So I thank you so much for being able to be candid and be open about it, because it's not easy. It's not easy to share that. But I appreciate you for that, and I'm going to continue to go into the conversation. But thank you again.
Thanks.
All right. And I'm going to open up the line with the last four digits of 9304. Welcome. Hello, 9304. Maybe they just want to listen. I'll come back. Caller with the last four digits of 4339. Welcome.
Hey, what's up? It's Eja.
Can you hear Eja? Me? Yes, I can hear you. Welcome.
Thank you. So, yeah, I have like two questions, but one of them,
sure.
You didn't, like, go over yet, and I was wondering if you wanted me to wait for later to ask it, or if I could just ask for.
We can discuss it right now.
All right. So first question is from what you said earlier about, like, seeing the colors of your chakras. I was wondering, like, how do I do that? Like, I don't see colors or anything like that.
So when you close your eyes, do you do meditation?
Yes, I do. Oh, is that what you mean? Yeah, I never really see any, like, red or anything. Like,
do you ever say, for instance, if you you're sitting in a dark room and you might see a color floating across the air? You don't ever see that?
I do. It's mostly like always the same color, like yellowish gold,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks
okay.
like I'm looking at space.
Looking at what?
At outer space. Like,
oh,
you know,
okay.
looks like
mm-hmm.
stars,
mm-hmm.
but they all seem to be yellowish, you know.
Mm. That's something that you might want to look into as far as concentrating all of your focus on that. Concentrating your focus. It doesn't necessarily mean, doesn't always necessarily mean it's the chakras, but at the same time, it could mean that it's the chakras. So it's really about doing some self-work and maybe working with somebody who can do meditation with you and help you be able to reach that, because maybe it's something in the energy is trying to communicate to you. And because you're not connected completely, it might take that extra push to get you there. So you might want to consider that.
Oh, okay. So,
okay. And what is your other question? I don't mind going into that one.
Yeah, this is kind of like a long one a little bit. But, all right, so as far as, like, sexual things, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't, like, right now I'm not, like, in love with anybody or anything like that, but at the same time, I still need to do, you know, whatever, right? So I was wondering, like, if I don't have, like, that, like, you know, it feels great and everything is wonderful, awesome while I'm doing it, right? But when I'm finished and I'm laying there, it's not like we don't have that mental connection, like that loving, holding, cuddling type thing. And I was wondering if my chakra, you know, as far as that is concerned, is off, and if it is, how is it, like, how can I balance that out more?
Okay, so how can you open up that sensual part of yourself? Is it coming from both ends? Are you both feeling that way?
Well, you know, yeah, because it's not like we're not.
So y'all
like
not in a relationship, so y'all just do what y'all do. Is
yeah,
that what it then, is?
Yeah, pretty
okay.
much.
Okay,
yeah.
It's grown folks doing them kind of thing.
Exactly.
So what is stopping you? What is stopping you both? My question to you before I answer that question is, what is stopping you from having that deeper sense of intimacy? What's stopping you two both from going there?
Oh, you mean with each of us? Like, I mean, you mean just me and her, or me?
Whichever person you connect into like that, and you are trying to figure out why y'all not cuddling and why y'all not having that extra intimate moment, what is it in yourself? Because this is a question that you probably need to ask yourself out loud or write down. Is why is it that you and that individual, why are y'all afraid to allow that to happen?
Well, I don't think we're afraid. It's just like when we tried before, it wasn't good. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that part was... Yeah, it's different. Like, we, you know, like, we be arguing. I don't know. It's just stupid when we're trying to be a couple. But if we're just doing that one thing, it's awesome. Like, I don't know. Like, and then, like, and this is another thing. It also seems like I find myself trying to love a person that's, like, not for me. Like, I don't know. I don't really know how to explain that. But they're just not there or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like all of this sexual stupidity is going on in my life. Everything else in my life is pretty decent, you know what I'm saying? Except for
so
my
question
love.
To you is then, why do you need to have sex then? If it's not
right.
satisfying you, if it's only satisfying you on a physical level, right? If it's
right.
only if this person is only satisfying you on a physical level, but you sound like you want so much more but not from that individual, why continue to have sex with that individual?
I don't know. I seem to get cranky or something if I don't. I mean, it's just like, you know, like a week or 2 weeks.
I'm emotionally disturbed, so to speak. And I don't mean to say that to make you sound crazy, but emotionally disturbed if you don't get something to satisfy your physical part of that emotion, that sacral chakra part of you. You don't want the emotional, the psychological emotional part, but you want the physical part, is basically what you're saying.
No, I do want it. I just don't, like, I'm going about it wrong. I don't want it with her, but I want it with somebody else. But somebody else ain't for me.
Okay. So why don't you focus on that individual rather than the one that you continue to give your energy to?
Because,
see, the more you work at giving your physical self, remember, our physical selves are attached to our emotional self. So if you're physically saying, I want to go through this door because this door is a better door to go through right now, but in the future I want to go through this door, and you're not making steps to walk towards that other door, you're going to keep walking through the same door that you're going through. And you're going to keep finding yourself questioning, why is it that we're not having a connection when your heart is really want to go through the other door? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. So, you know, I'm just thinking, like, the other person, she seems not to be for me at this particular time. And then, like, I don't really have time a lot to be going out meeting people. You know what I'm saying? Between my life,
well,
school,
you have time?
Work,
are you leaving
daughter.
Are you leaving this earth? Are you leaving this earth tomorrow or something? You leaving sometime soon?
No,
okay,
I don't
need it. So what you need to do, for one, you need to ground yourself. Get grounded and get rooted in yourself and figure out what it is that you want. And then you need to set your goal for what it is that you want. And then you need to work towards what it is that you want and stop dwelling in the places that you don't want. Because now the only thing you're doing is satisfying something physical, but the whole body is not being satisfied. And like I said, and until you start aligning yourself up with the desires and things that you need, you're going to keep going down that other path. You keep going down that path saying, this is okay for me for now. But then while you keep saying this is okay for me for now, that other thing over there is doing what it's doing and doesn't even know, or maybe doesn't even think about connecting with you. You have to make that connection. You know what I mean? So what you might want to do, and I know this sounds crazy because a lot of people don't think about it, but you might want to take a break from that physical part for a minute and gather yourself and figure out what it is that you want to do instead of working with this thing over here. Because it's comfortable, because of the fact that you guys are being physically intimate, but then you're asking me the question of why don't we hug or why we don't have this, because that's not what you truly want. You just want it to satisfy you for that moment. But then what happens when that moment is over? Y'all lay there and nothing happens. So you're really doing yourself a disservice.
Well, I never looked at it like that. So I guess I'm going to have to change something. I guess I'll see what I can do. I'll let you know.
It takes a while to get there, but I think there's some root work you got to do first. You definitely got to deal with that first one before you can even, you know, I mean, you can start making some plans to deal with the second one or deal with them both together, because, you know, many of us are walking around here doing that exact same thing. We're walking around in these relationships and we say we've grown and we're just sleeping around and doing things casually because it's comfortable for us. But what we desire is not coming from that individual, but we keep having an exchange of energy with that person. So while we're still giving them our energy, where's the energy going towards the other thing that we want, that we desire? You know, and they're not meeting she's not meeting your psychological needs. She's not. So you're depriving yourself.
That's true. Maybe I'll start seeing that red if I do it. But thanks.
It'll come. It'll definitely come. But stay on the line. I'm going to continue the conversation, and I'm going to open up some more calls. And hopefully, as the show goes on, I can continue to open the light or shed the light on some things, even just for myself. I learn every time I talk to everybody. So I'm stay on the line, and I'm going to open up the next call. Thank you, though.
All right, no doubt.
All right, caller with the last four digits of 4153. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, sister? I'm just listening, you know, checking it all in, and, you know, appreciating what I'm hearing and grateful to be given the opportunity. So keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate everybody.
All right, thank you for listening. All right, so I'm going to go back to some of the information. We're going to talk about More on the level of the second chakra being sometimes called the passion or sexuality chakra. And it literally means, when we talk about Vahasthana, it being traditional Sanskrit terms, it really means the dwelling place of self, okay? And so when we talk about our feelings and our emotions and how it encompasses us, we want to be able to not become a slave to our emotions and a slave to some of the physical parts of having a blocked sacral chakra, but we want to recognize the feelings of everything that you experience. You know, we just don't want to be functioning because this is what, you know, at the moment, this is what is right or what we think is right for us. The key is to actually look into your dwelling place of yourself, really dig deep in who you are when it comes to building or doing participating in sexual relationships. The sexual desire starts in this chakra. So all the feelings of pleasure comes from this area. When you are not involved in a meaningful emotional relationship, the second chakra could still generate feelings of attraction and pleasure. So that's that point where I was talking about. We can still be physical, but the emotions will be so detached from it. And so the pleasure will be easy to have. The sexual attraction will be easy to have. But the problem is that people will get so addicted to that pleasure that they will forget the relationship part and just go for the sexual thrill. And then at the end of it, they feel as though, you know what, if this works, this is what they're going to go with. Meanwhile, with what, as I mentioned before, what you desire is not what you go and achieve. And this is kind of not so much of a blockage, but this can be an overload because, you know, at this particular point, you begin to develop an addiction to that pleasure. And addiction really teeters on that overload when that chakra. So it can begin as a blockage by not connecting to your emotional self, and then it can turn into an addiction, which is an overload. So the blocked second chakras can cause different kinds of sexual problems. It can cause a sexual arousal disorder where someone can't get an erection or cannot be aroused, and that's definitely an issue with a second chakra. Ideally, when the chakra is open and it's healthy, sexual pleasure becomes a lovely part of a balanced, passionate relationship involving your emotions. So, you know, you kind of want to balance the two. Many of us, either we're in a blockage or we're in an overload. I tend to realize that most women are in that blocked area, where most men are in that overload area. And it's really difficult to manage that because this is also the chakra of the yin and yang, the duality of the male and female, the feminine and masculine energies. And you may have some cases where the roles are reversed, where a woman may have more masculine energy and she may be cold and she may not be affectionate or she may not be loving and she might have that little bit more hardness to her, where you may have some men who are overly sensual and overly emotional and overly attached. So those are the issues, and I'm going to talk about psychological issues that physical issues that are related to an overload. So emotional eating is one, and that is a root chakra as well as a second chakra issue. Sexual addiction, substance abuse, major substance abuse, frequent urination, heavy menstrual flow, as we are in the blockage is low, PMS, and hyperflexibility. The psychological issues related to a second chakra overload, bipolar disorder, panic attacks, excessive emotionality like being overly sensitive, mood swings, hypersensitivity, addiction to pleasure, emotional dependency, being ruled by your feelings, and an over association with children. Now that's key. And I say that because when you look at people who are pedophiles, when you look at people who have a fixation with children, their sensual, their passion or their sacral chakra is in major overload. Overload to the point where it can be so dysfunctional. Okay, so it is something that I kind of talked to with a lot of the ladies that I do on my Sunday show when we had talked about one time about pedophilia and where it comes from. Actually, it was another show I was on. We talked about pedophilia and where it comes from. And a lot of that is your overload sacral chakra, the touching, the wanting to hold and wanting to do things. And it associates itself with bipolar disorder as well because of the up and down emotional states. But what happens when you have this overload, it's really difficult to manage if you do not get yourself in a place of being aware of it. And many times I try to express to people that balance, because in the sacral chakra is so important to have that balance, because if you're over, it can be a pain in the butt. If you're in a relationship with someone who wants to cuddle and wants to hold and hug all the time, and you're the person on the other end of the spectrum and you don't want that, there's a clash. And sometimes it helps us be able, once we know the chakras and know the sacral chakra, it helps us to be able to understand, you know, especially when someone has had childhood trauma and things that were done to them, why they may be cold, why they may be distant, why they may be fearful, you know. So that tends to happen. I'm going to open up a couple of more lines and open up some questions. I'm going to start with the last four digits of 5338. Welcome. Hello. Welcome. Hi, who's calling?
This is Angelica.
Hi. Thank you for calling. Do you have a question?
No.
Okay, you just listening in?
Yes.
Okay, I'll put you back on hold. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to make an announcement. If you do not want to speak or ask or answer any questions, please press 1. It'll take you out of queue, and it'll allow other callers to come in so that they can ask questions. You'll still be able to listen to the show, but it'll take you out of queue. Okay, I'm going to call on the next number, the last four digits of 8062. Welcome.
Peace, how are you?
Peace, who's calling?
Beautiful Diana from New Jersey. Thanks for having me.
You know, I got to memorize the last four digits of your number. Because last week
yes,
I thought you was another call from the end, and I'm like, make sure you inbox me. And I'm like, who is this? That's my girl.
I just called in because I'm on a break from class. And I was like, oh, my God, why did I miss it? So my question is about being overly sexual and overly sensual and always wanting to kiss and suck and all that. Like, that's me. Thank God I'm in a relationship mm-hmm. where he doesn't mind that. But you think that mm-hmm. it stems from blockages and having childhood or teenage trauma, i.e. rape and molestation? Do you think there's a connection with that?
I think that it could be a lack thereof. It really depends on what your history is, and only you can answer that question. If you typically have had a molestation or something had happened to you, sometimes what it will start out as a blockage, and then mm-hmm. what happens is it becomes an overload. And what happens, mm-hmm. and the reason why that typically happens is because the sense of wanting to be loved, even though something traumatic mm-hmm. has happened to you. And what I've noticed when I work with certain women is that mm-hmm. when they have had that type of trauma, they could either do one or two things. Some women will shut down completely, and it will be mm-hmm. really difficult for you to have an intimate relationship with them, and they fully let go. Or you have mm-hmm. some women that do the complete opposite, and they will go ham and be promiscuous. Mm-hmm. And so, to make up for that emotion, to kind of get that emotion or that same attention that person was getting, even though that attention wasn't good attention, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Attention that's favorable, but it made them feel good. physically.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and man-made them feel good. And so what it is that they want to achieve and get that feeling. And it doesn't matter who the face is. It doesn't matter who's giving them feeling. It matters to get that feeling. And then that's where it can grow into an issue if you don't identify it. See, I don't find anything wrong with having an overloaded sacral chakra because I have it too. And I'm not going to say I suffer from it. I love having an overabundance in my sacral chakra.
Yes, that's
why. On so many levels. To me, sex is the best thing that has ever been created, the best gift that has ever been created. And if everyone knew how to manage their feelings in that and know when it is appropriate to feel that way or know how to manage it where it's governed in the right places, then I promote it. But there are so many people who don't understand where it's supposed to go. Where you have in those instances with pedophilia, there's a disconnection going on where this person is overloaded in this chakra and they want to have a relationship with a child. There is something that is wired wrong, all types of wrong, you know. But when you're in a relationship with someone who wants that feeling and wants that attention, then I can't see anything wrong with that, having an overloaded chakra. It really depends on who you're dealing with. It depends on your past. I couldn't say that there's anything wrong with it if everything in your particular situation is peaceful and happy
and healthy.
Satisfies you and your partner and
it is
healthy. Then there is absolutely nothing wrong with it at all. You know. But on the other end of the spectrum where there's a blockage, either you link up with someone that has a blockage and is okay with being distant and cold and not touching. Either you link up with somebody with that and you're okay with that, or either you learn how to work with some childhood issues because it really just stems back from childhood. It really does. All right?
Well, I'm glad I got a hold on that because I definitely did my time being abstinent and celibate for 2.5 years, and now I'm definitely rewarded with love and a beautiful partner, patient and loving.
Yes.
So thank you. I just had to double check on that.
Mm-hmm.
I will call back on my next break.
That's where the balance comes in, cause especially if you're someone who in the past, and I can say for myself, if someone in the past who's over-emotional and wanted to have love, wanted that feeling of passion and sensuality, in every relationship that I was in and never got it, and then got to the point where, you know what, let me do some self-reflection. Let me get celibate for a little bit and cleanse the system and make sure that I'm connecting to the right energy that's going to bring out all this passion and this love that I want to share. And so when you do that, you're giving yourself that time to activate and charge and put the healthy type of energy in your sacral chakra. So that way when you do attract someone, you're going to attract someone that's of your likeness. Typically, you're going to attract someone of your likeness, and that person is going to have a healthy appetite the way your appetite is healthy. And that's the blessing part of reserving that energy and letting it build and understand how to use it. Because you can also be that affectionate with the earth, having a love affair with the earth and the plants and going out there and taking in the air. And you can have an overabundance of it because it's emotion. Emotion is beautiful.
And the sunlight and the ocean,
absolutely. Seeing love and passion and emotion and everything. Beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely. To have
you
have this work.
There's so much more to it. This is just a small portion of it, but I'm happy to be able to share it. I'm so happy to be able to share it.
Thank you. I love you and thank you. And I will be listening often.
I love you too. Absolutely. Thank you, love.
You're so welcome.
All right, peace. I'm going to open up the caller with the last 4 digits of 1678. Welcome. Hello? 1678? Okay.
Hello?
I just want to listen. Yes. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Who's
calling? Peace.
I think you know who this is.
Now I do. Welcome. So So do you have any questions or do you make any comments?
I'm hearing a lot of the same conversations over and over. There's a lot of people
mm-hmm.
that are dealing with the same issues, dealing with
mm-hmm.
Dealing with sexuality, be it the lack thereof or the lack of overabundance in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to, I guess I don't really have no questions, but I guess wanted to add to those of you
mm-hmm.
who are experiencing some type of healing or going through the healing process or some type of sexual trauma or where you feel like either you or your partner is not able to connect fully on that level. I want to challenge you all to go into your mirrors and go into your closet and
mm-hmm.
go into that inner child and that inner voice and
yes.
to, I would say, do a ceremony for yourself and forgive those people if there was any wrong or any harm that was done to you and release that. Release that pain and that trauma, because in order for you to go and have healthy relationships, you're going to have to basically go back and dig up those bones and burn them so that you can go on and know that the type of people, you know, once you get that healing, you will attract the type of people in your life that will help you on your process. And some of those people might be temporal. Some of those people might be for the long haul, but the key is being open to trust and open to love. And really, when you stepping into that realm with somebody, having an intention, being open and honest about your intention with whatever that relationship is. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I would just say, if you're gonna be having exchanging sexual energy with someone, be it male, female, however, it's still an energetic exchange, no matter how you dress it up.
Yeah.
You need to really be mindful that when you're in that space with that person, if you have any foul thoughts or any mixed emotions about that, then that's what you're going to birth. And
right.
you're basically you fueling, you're birthing, you're giving birth to whatever it is that you don't want. You're adding fuel to that equation, to that situation. And the key that I would say, maybe, like you said earlier, maybe take a break from that and maybe get to know yourself. Make love to yourself. Get to know your own body and talk to yourself. Ask yourself
yeah.
what it is that you really want. And don't be afraid to express that to whatever your partner is. And a lot of times you'll find, I mean, a lot of people hold back because they feel some type of fear regarding maybe the other person won't accept. But I challenge you that most of the time you'll be surprised at the acceptance that you will get from the other person, because really you got to understand, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit this, but you only attract it who you are. And you can either choose to take that energy, take those lessons that this person has to bring to you and grow from them, or you can take those situations and you can be, you know, you can just stay where you are. But the key
right.
now is to heal from all those past. And I know I deal with a lot of women, and I know there's a lot of women that have been abused, and also male too, men too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are afraid to talk. People are dealing with STDs and things like that they don't want to bring to the table. And you know, I would just say, once you can free yourself from those burdens and those fears, you will experience a sex life that you probably never even imagined.
Mm-hmm.
It will become something that is, you know, way more than just the wham bam thank you ma'am. You really will appreciate that person as a goddess or as a god that they are, and really be able
right.
to utilize that life force energy to bring forth some beauty and some healing into your life and theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to leave on that, but I'm grateful to be here, you know, just to be in and listen in on the call and put some
right.
love and
thank
energy
you.
Into that. You
thank
know?
You so much for
and,
doing that. Absolutely a gem. Thank you. And standalone, just listen, I'm going to put you on hold, but I appreciate all that you said, and I'm in total agreement with the brother. He really, really touched on a lot of things, and especially with working with going back and dealing with a block chakra and an overloaded chakra. It really all stems from the development and what we've learned as children. So I'm going to read something really quick, and it says, children experience so many things that they do not know how to handle them. They don't know how to express them or process them, and they may become a part of their beliefs. These beliefs are impacting your relationships and your success as an adult. Remember that the energy travels up through the chakras, so if your root chakra is still holding on to issues of not feeling safe and feeling fear, your sacral chakra will not flow freely as well. And so, unfortunately, we can address these issues by going back, And many times when I do work with women, especially women who have dealt with sexual abuse, and men who've dealt with sexual abuse, that pattern that they have picked up when they were children, you know, going into adulthood, they develop this this sense of fear and this sense of not being secure. So that root chakra and that sacral chakra is kind of working together to keep each other, protecting one another from getting from relieving and releasing all of that. And going back actually takes you to that place. Going back and taking back what was taken from you, and like the brother said, that person who did that to you don't even have to be there. They don't have to be there. You go there and you love on their child and you remove all of that stuff that came during that time by holding on to that child, letting go. If it means crying, if it means screaming, if it means just sitting there and recalling it so you can get it out your system and breathe it out of your system, we have to remove it. And we have to remove it from the root on up, because that's where it begins, our safety and our security. And when we go into relationships, we take that security blanket with us, and we cover ourselves with that. And we go into these relationships talking and or thinking that we're opening ourselves up because, okay, I give her a kiss or I give him a hug or, you know, we lay down together and we have sex. But people still hold on to certain pieces of themselves and not giving all of who they are. And in the blockage, that's what you're doing. You're protecting that part of yourself. So I know last week I had talked, when I talked on the show and I had people write down some questions. So these are some questions that you want to ask yourself to see if you are stuck, if you have stuck energy in your sacral chakra. So I'm gonna read these questions, and if you want to write them down, it would be to your benefit. This is some work that you may want to do in order to figure out where your sacral chakra resides, if it is blocked or if it's over. Most of us know when it's over just based on some of the things that I talked about, the over-emotional and the emotional eating and those things like that. But these are some more questions to help you dig deeper, because you can be at one point, your sacral chakra could be at its lowest energy, and then at another point, it could be at the high energy. So, and that's that bipolar thing that goes on. So ask yourself these questions to see if you have any stuck energy in your sacral chakra. First question, what areas do you allow yourself experience pleasure? What areas do you allow yourself to experience pleasure? And then where do you not? Where do you withhold that pleasure? And what situations do you withhold that pleasure? Second question, do you feel creative and sensual? Do you feel creative and sensual? Next question. How often do you do things that you really do not enjoy? How often do you do things that you really do not enjoy? And then also, how often do you do things that you really do enjoy? So the first one is that you do not enjoy, and the second part of that is do you enjoy? The fourth question, when do you do things for others that is from a genuine desire to be a service, or do you really do it to try to win someone's approval or love? When you do things for others, is it from a genuine desire to be of service, or are you really trying to win their approval or love? Do you have codependent relationships? And if you do, how do you contribute to them? Do you have codependent relationships? And that is that overage that's in your sacral chakra. Do you find yourself codependent on someone? Do you need someone? And how do you contribute to it? Next question. Do you experience jealousy? And I know most of us do sometimes. Do you experience jealousy? And that is an emotional issue relating to your second chakra. Okay. Next question. Do you trust that life is abundant and that there is always enough? And that is a question we asked on the root chakra. We're going to ask that again for the sacral chakra as it pertains to everything dealing with the second chakra. Do you trust that life is abundant and that there is always enough? Because if you can answer that question the same as you answered it in the root chakra, then that definitely means there's a link there, and those two chakras need to be worked with. And these are your chakras. The first three chakras are considered your earth chakras, issues that you deal with in life as you live here on earth. They are really your earth chakras, okay? The last question. Do you allow life to be easy, or do you believe that you have to struggle and sacrifice to get everything and that everything is hard? So I'm going to repeat that. It says, do you allow life to be easy, or do you believe that you have to struggle and sacrifice and that everything is hard? And I know some people who believe that if you don't work hard, you will never get a reward. And that is, to me, that's a crock of bull. You don't have to work that hard if you really know how to manifest what it is that you want. If you really know how to channel your energy, and that's only if you really know how to do it, you don't have to work that hard to get what you want. You just got to know what it is that you want and how to be able to and take the steps to get there. As a matter of fact, the road will open up for you. The road will open itself up for you when you honor yourself and trust the fact that what you want is what you're supposed to have. And so those are the questions that I challenge you to be able to put in and work with when you're talking about dealing with the second chakra. Now, how we want to awaken, or how we want to align the second chakra, we want to immerse ourselves in warm water, either in a bathtub or in a hot tub, and or even just if you go to a pool or a beach, and allow your body to immerse itself in the water, because the sacral chakra is affiliated with the elements of water, and because water is emotion, and you want to connect yourself. I can tell you, I went to the beach last summer, and I allowed myself to put my knees in the sand where the water was probably up to my shoulders. And I had to learn to trust myself to rock with the waves instead of fight against the waves. And that's what we want to do. We want to rock with the waves. We don't want to fight against those waves. So, and I'm not suggesting you do the same thing I did, but that's just something that I did. But sitting in water, at least up to your waist, and imagine that your sacral chakra is just below your belly button, and that it is spinning a bright orange. And you want to take in deep breaths, and you want to raise your arms over your head so that you could imagine that the light is actually going to push down through your body and radiate into your center. And you continue to do that with breathing techniques, and you'll begin to align your chakras, okay? So even though most people feel like they are in tune with their emotions, if you grew up in an environment where emotional expression or creative expression was something that was discouraged, you may not learn how to be emotional or creative to open. So you may have, some of us may have grown up in a household where the parents were just not affectionate towards one another, and we picked up on that energy, and we walk with that. I encourage people to go back into how you want to be loved. Decide how it is that you want to be loved, you know, and I know it's difficult because some people feel like when they hold back their emotions, it protects them and it keeps them, but it actually harms you. It actually leads to a blockage, and it leads to coldness, and people don't want to deal with you, and you find yourselves going from one relationship to the next relationship or just having negative experiences and relationships with people. So you kind of want to open that up and be a little bit more softer and start working more with that sacral chakra so that you can be able to remove a lot of painful things or a lot of things that you've grown up with and become this new individual. Sometimes when you have sexual rejection or sexual exploitation, it can cause very serious sacral chakra issues. So naturally sensitive people are more likely to experience pain with emotions, causing a chain reaction of emotional imbalance, and can influence future relationships as well as the ability to experience pleasure. So that can definitely bring you to those places where, in some cases, where your feelings were discouraged, you become so angry, and that everything is about being angry. And so with the sacral chakra being this emotional center, there's development of those types of issues of where you become so angry and frustrated, you block yourself off from people, and people just don't know how to communicate or work with you. Also with blocked chakra issues, there are a lot of issues that surround the sexual and the reproductive organs. And as we talked about that libido, the impotence, and I noticed like in my age group, the men who are typically in my age group are starting to experience a lot of impotence. And for many years having repressed emotions, carrying that around, not being able to connect to that feminine principle of who you are, and not being able to allow yourself to open up can show itself later on in the physical aspect of it when you want to become intimate with someone and your body is just not having it anymore. Your body has now linked together with your emotions. It's like, listen, that's not happening. So it's something that we want to look into when it comes to our physical self and reproduction and how a blocked chakra can assist us in that. So how we want to, again, heal our blocked chakra or align, we want to drink lots of fluids, especially clean water. We want to eat orange foods like sweet potatoes, citrus fruits, salmon, papaya, and melon. You want to do purposeful and things that bring you pleasure. If dancing brings you pleasure, then dance your ass off. If driving makes you feel pleasure, then take a drive if you can. If listening to some music brings you pleasure, do everything that brings you pleasure, especially someone who has a blocked sacral chakra, who can't connect to emotions. Do something that you absolutely love doing, and it will bring out the passion in you. And before you know it, you'll want to do it more often, and you'll want to have that feeling all the time, okay? Swimming, they say, typically would be good, and that's what I meant by immersing yourself in water. You can also do swimming. And giving people hugging someone. I know within the past several years, I want to say like 10 years, people have gotten this disorder that just came out of nowhere, because I don't remember this disorder when I was younger, but people having this obsessive compulsive disorder, obsessing upon not touching people and things got to be clean and germs, or germophobia, this whole thing with germophobia. And people start using hand sanitizers and cleansing everything and all these germs everywhere and all this other nonsense. The germs that are around are the same germs that was around when I was 5, 6 years old, probably before that, when my grandmother was 5, 6 years old. What is happening is being amplified by the media and being amplified by selling products to people to make them think that everything is dirty and disgusting. So there you have situations where people are afraid to touch other people. Folks don't want to touch other people, you know. And so there is this problem of people holding back sometimes. Now, it's understandable if certain people you don't want to touch because of certain energy exchange, and it's only with some people that actually know what that means. But to hug someone that you genuinely like, that you genuinely love, and that you genuinely are dealing with on a sexual level or any level that deals with intimacy, to hug that person is not going to kill you. To give someone affection, because deep down inside, that child in us, that's what they want. Every child wants to be loved. Every child wants attention. Every child wants to be acknowledged. So I suggest that hugs, being emotionally open, especially with those that you care about. If you don't care about the person, then don't overextend yourself. But if you love someone, if you're sharing yourself with someone, then why not give them affection? One body part is not separate from the other. Okay? Talking about your feelings, talking with someone who is a good listener, creating something or drawing or playing music, as I mentioned, building or cooking is one way that you can unblock a blocked sacral chakra. And what I do is I have my ladies, when we do the sister circle, we do coloring like little children. We sit here and we bring out that inner child. And what I did was I decided that if we're going to go back to those places where we're going to heal this child, we got to bring this child out to play. And sometimes it makes us feel good when we're able to connect to that inner child, going back to that place and dealing with that child, not just for the trauma that the child had, but also dealing with playing with that child, letting that child be free, letting that child run around. Do childish things for the sake of your own happiness and your own emotional stability. Be creative and allow that child, that inner child, to create beautiful things around you, and you'd be amazed about the things that change within you. Spending time with children on a positive level, focusing on them rather than being distracted when you are with them. Looking at someone who loves you directly in the eyes, connect to sensuality, connect to your mate. If you can connect to someone laying down in the bed while they are, you know, being with you on a physical level, connect to their eyes. Don't just connect your genitals to one another, but connect every body part. Touch the skin. Look at the skin. Caress the skin. This skin is going to be connected to your skin. So blend them skins and look at those eyes. And look deep into your lover's soul. Look deep into your lover's heart. Touch them like you want to be touched. Love them how you want to be touched. Open up that sacral chakra and allow both your sacral chakra energy to connect with one another, rooted in love. Connect to that place. When you do have sex with a person, be committed. Be responsive to what they feel. Be open to discuss. Because typically, the people that we connect to are us in reflection. So that's something to think about. You also want to do therapy for those who in the sacral chakra have addictions, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs. Now, a while back I had dated someone who had a serious alcohol problem. And initially at first I didn't recognize it. And I thought it was just, you know what, he having a couple of drinks. It's all good. We having a good time. And it progressively got worse, and especially during times where me and this individual didn't get along, and I've always had decided to leave the relationship. If I've always said that I was going to leave the relationship if things didn't improve, this person would drink even more. And so I didn't understand it. I kept asking myself, why am I dealing with this person? They keep drinking. I don't understand what's wrong with me. I want to help them, but they don't want help. And it wasn't until I had left this individual and I started working with the chakras that I realized that this person had an issue with childhood. And this alcohol problem was an extension of what was going on in childhood. And this is why it's so important to look at when you're in a relationship with someone and you can't understand some of the things that they do. Think about what they may have been as a child. This person had an alcohol problem because, one, it was in the family. It was something that they did. It was something that the men in the family did. They drank. But not only that, person had such a disconnect from his parents. He was a middle child. He always felt like he wasn't loved, that nobody paid attention to him. He always got beaten. He was the one that got in trouble the most. And everything that he did, it was something wrong. Whether it was something right, he did. His parents always seemed to find something wrong with that. So as an adult, growing up with no emotion, growing up with disapproval, growing up with negativity, he grew up to be this adult that protected himself in alcoholism. But not only that, that covered up his pain in alcoholism. And what seemed to be a drink that was just casual and, oh, we're just having a good time, would turn into a night of self-medicating from the past. And even though the past wasn't in the present, but in his mind, it was still present. And so, till this day, that person still has that issue. And no matter what peacefulness he might have, it always goes back to the childhood and then the drinking begins. And so this is where some of the addictions come from our childhood, not having enough, not feeling safe. And this is what makes me feel safe. And addictions also come because it's pleasurable, which goes on your sensuality. Your emotion, the way you feel, the way you want to feel. This alcohol is going to make me feel so damn good. I'm going to drink all night. And when you feel good, see, when you're in pleasure state, you're in a dream world. When you are in pain, you are awakened. Pain will awaken you where pleasure will allow you to be in a dream state. So most people want to be in a dream state so they don't have to deal with the awakened state. And when people who become addicted to whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be sex, it is an escapism into that pleasure because that pleasure makes them feel good. So the key to working with our sacral chakra throughout this entire show, we've been talking about going back to our childhood. It speaks volumes about what's happening in our life right now. When you go back to that place and you look at the behaviors and the attitudes and the emotion and everything that was in your household, it tells you a story about you. Because not only because you learned those things, but you are a continuation of your parents. That is the sacral chakra relationship being manifested into adulthood. And many of our parents walked around with that same disconnection that they got from their parents. So the first work that I do with anybody dealing with issues, dealing with sexuality, addiction, emotion, anger issues, and just total abusive nature to self, is taking them back to that place, taking them to the root chakra and the sacral chakra. Get those two activated, because most times, more times than not, this is where our problem resides. We haven't even gotten to the upper chakras, because down here on this earth is where the problems are and where we need to go. So I'm going to open up the lines one last time to see if anyone has any questions. And we're going to start to wrap it up. I'm going to go to the caller. Let me see who I haven't called yet. Caller with the last four digits of 4153. Welcome.
Well, was listening. Actually, I was listening before, and you had called on me.
Hello? Hi, I can't hear you. Hello? Hello? Yes. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, who's calling?
This is Miss Vicky.
Hi, Miss Vicky. How are you?
Hi, I'm really, really enjoying the class.
All right.
I've noticed that every time I'm actively engaged in your class, it's always distractions such as children, parents, questions, cook, clean, bend over, caught, touch your toes, sprinkle me. I don't know. I'm getting tired of the whole shit. I'm just want to get loaded. Here, there comes everybody. Hold on. Call me. I love you. Leave me alone.
So do you have any
Hold
questions
on.
For me?
Yes, I'm going outside so I can ask. Okay, I made it out of the dungeon of motherhood. My question is, why do people, when they see you trying to raise your vibration, change your mindset, and you're doing the work to change, and they are questioning, negative comments, what you listening to that for, and how long is that going to be? And you need to get off the phone so you can go do what I need you to do. Oh, wait a minute, what about me, motherfucker? Don't you see I'm doing something? Why do people disrespect what you doing for you to serve them?
Why do people disrespect what you're doing to serve them?
Yes.
That is absolutely a third chakra issue. It is trying to take away your power. It is them feeling so insecure about self that they need to take your power to add to it. That is something that's going to be a powerful conversation.
Right. So when you try to set healthy boundaries, and they still just, like, bombard their way into what you're doing. It's like, fuck you, and what the fuck are you trying to do, and fuck what you're trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you
try to gotta respect
you got to set new boundaries. You got to set new boundaries now. And what you got to do
See,
is
I'm
now, you got to
set the boundaries. Now I feel like I got to punch their bitch asses. You know what I mean? I feel like I got to fight now, and I don't even want to fight people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're making me aggravated and aggressive. Like, making me want to be the person I'm trying not to be.
The type of boundaries that you're putting up ain't strong enough for what they're trying to do. So now either you, unfortunately, may have to fight them in a whole other way, but
okay.
You definitely
so
have
to
redirect
you
how your boundaries.
Can you teach me how to do that? Can you teach me
can
how to fight?
Can I teach you how to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, I can
then
help you. You're going to be the one to do the work. You're going to be the one to make it happen. I can help you and guide you,
but I want to learn how to do it. I don't know where to start. I mean, I don't know how to.
So one, saying no. And see, this is the problem that I had. I'm going to share my experience with you real quick. The problem that I had was I was taking care of everybody. I was taking care of because I was the first one that was out on my own. I was always the child that came out and did everything on her own. So when my sisters needed something, boom, I tried to be there, or I was there, or I was the one that they went to. If my brother needed something, there was something that I was there for. So I was that person that was available for everybody. But when it came time for me, when it came time for me to need somebody, I couldn't go to those places. I had to build up enough strength to be able to do it myself. So now it got to the point where it was like, oh, you know what, I need help. Nope, I'm sorry. My bad. I can't.
That's what I've been getting for the last 5.
And that's it. And then the phone goes off, and there's no communication. After that, when I say no, just like I tell my children, no is no. I'm going to treat you like my children. No is no. If you can't handle your own life, I can't be responsible for it. We have to say no. And we have to say emphatically. And we have to say it to their face, looking dead in their eyes, and say no.
So what are you doing?
Because they're trying to take your power. Because they're trying to take your power. And that's something that we will discuss on the next show, because that one is about power and people trying to take things from you because they're so self-absorbed.
Well, they're being selfish, I think.
Self-absorbed. Their world, there's nobody else in their world but them. You only exist when they need something. And that's the next, girl, you done ran me into the next show.
Okay, but wait, I got my question for this chakra.
Okay, go ahead.
Since I have experienced sexual abuse and domestic violence for years and have survived homelessness and depression and all those negative things, healing and recovering
mm-hmm.
is all I'm about right now. You know, learning my chakras, learning crystals, just learning medical physics, just learning metaphysics, just learning me, paying attention
right.
to me, loving me, evaluating me. So I've abstained from sex for 5 or 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can deal with that root issue and this issue. But I keep getting all these distractions with people trying to take my power.
And see, that's why we have to work with all these chakras together, because
so should I just focus on 1, 2, and 3?
1, 2, and 3, honey. 1, 2. Typically, if one and two aren't working properly or aren't charged, 3 is definitely going to be affected, because it 3 is about you and your power center. But like I said, that's something we're going to save for next week, because that's one where a lot of people are going to have questions about what's going on with them as a person. This second chakra deals with relationships and how your intimate relationships affect your emotions and your creativity. And how you're able to communicate.
I haven't been able to complete any of my projects.
I'm sorry?
I haven't been able to complete any of my projects. I haven't been able to complete my book.
That's,
I haven't been able to write articles officially.
That's a third chakra issue. That's a third chakra issue.
All right.
So we're gonna talk more on that next week. I'm giving myself 2.5 hours for that show, because that show requires more time. We only have less than a minute left. So I'm going to thank everybody for calling. I thank you, Sister Vicky, for calling. And I want to let you guys know that next week is going to be a 2.5-hour show. We're going to talk about the solar plexus, and we're going to find out what's going on with us as individuals, our self-esteem, our power, and everything that surrounds who we are. So please join me again at the same time. If you have any specific questions, please hit me in my inbox on Facebook, and I will ask questions on a personal level. I want to thank you all for joining me, and I'm sorry we ran out of time, but have a good evening. Peace and blessings.
my garden, the rose opened. But I was too much in a hurry and passed it by. Love remembered me and said, I will make a rose bloom in your heart. Today I will remind myself that my body is the garden of my soul. That my body is the garden of my soul. Give me clarity in mind and heart. Release me from my confusion, which is born of the past. Let me see everything as if for the first time. Shower unknown blessings upon me and surprise me with joy. Let me be renewed in your way. My body is the garden. Garden of